Amen. I appreciate Brother Philip picking that song. Matter of fact, I just almost asked Miss Stephanie after she sang that first one if she'd sing that. And I appreciate the fact that we sang that together. Amen. How great our God is. Amen. Just remain standing if you will and turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. Amen. Studying through the book of Proverbs verse by verse. Well, we're looking at every verse at some time or another. But as we're doing it, we're in the section where you're not just going from one verse to another. We're taking different ones and looking at subjects and principles that we can pull from that. Amen. And hopefully finding some things that are helpful. And the thought for tonight, God gave me this thought early in the week. And I appreciate that. I thank God for it. And look forward to seeing what he's got in store for us tonight from the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 14, we looked at this last week. And we looked at several different verses in it. We started with verse 1. So tonight we're going to start with verse 2. And we'll just pick different verses out and go down through. I've got about 6 verses we'll use as text verses. One here and there and then another. All right, verse number 2 of Proverbs chapter number 14. The Bible says, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. So he's talking about being upright and fearing the Lord. Look at verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. So he talked about the upright fear of the Lord, but fools don't fear anything. Right? Look at verse number 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Look at verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. You're probably seeing the pattern. The wise man fears God. He has some fear. He has some, I call it wise fear. But the foolish man has foolish confidence. He's talking about being confident and going on. All right, look at verse number 26 and 27, the last two verses we'll look at in our text. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you please lead us in prayer? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. And you can be seated. Amen. Well, the subject I want to deal with tonight is how that wisdom will point us to being careful rather than being overly confident. I've titled my message, The Wise Fear of the Righteous versus the Foolish Courage of the Wicked. The Wise Fear of the Righteous versus the Foolish Courage of the Wicked. He talks about being careful. Wisdom is to be careful rather than being overly confident. We've seen how that the foolish man can have a foolish confidence. Amen. He's confident even though he shouldn't be confident. He thinks, I've got this. I can handle this. Amen. I saw a picture in a book I was reading some time back, and it's supposed to be a famous portrait of a young man that is flying a kite, and he's got a dog with him. He's looking up at the kite. The dog's looking up at a butterfly, chasing a butterfly, and both of them are just about to step over a cliff. Cause they're, and the picture, the title of it is The Fool. the fool that is looking at something out yonder that he really doesn't have in his hand, but he's not looking at what is at his feet. And sometimes that's the case, and we see it here in the text here that is before us. So our text verses reveal in verse number 2 that a wise man fears the Lord. He doesn't mock at sin, like verse number 9 says the foolish man does. He fearfully departs from evil, according to verse number 16, and he puts his confidence in the Lord, verse number 26, which gives him an escape from the snares of sin or the snares of death. Amen. By the way, we sang that song, How Great Thou Art, and talked about he bled and died to take away my sin. I'm glad he didn't just take away my hell, he took away my sin. Amen. And I'm glad for that. That's what this talk about, delivering them from the snares of sin. Amen. And the snares, we'll say the snares of death, that it's dealing with there in the scripture. And so the wise man fears God. The wise man flees from evil. The wise man puts his confidence in the Lord. But the foolish man despises the Lord. He says he's a perverse man that despises the Lord. In verse number 2, he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Talking about the Lord. The foolish man despises the Lord. The foolish man mocks at sin. And the foolish man rages or rageth, the Bible said in verse 16, rageth and is confident. So as I said, this is our second week looking at chapter number 14, the book of Proverbs. Last week we looked at some verses dealing with the will of God. God showing His will to His people. And we talked about that last week. Tonight I want to pull these verses together, speak about the dangers of foolish confidence, recommending rather the wisdom of a healthy fear. Amen. Amen. Now let me say right out of the gate that fear can be unhealthy. Amen. Fear can be unhealthy, particularly when it's needless fear and when it's reckless fear. Amen. Some people have, for example, in driving, for example, something darts out in front of them. Maybe it's a squirrel. And rather than hurting a squirrel, they kill somebody. They run through a house. They bust up property. They do, you know, a lot of different things that go on. You know why? Because they had the wrong kind of fear. And they overcorrected sometimes. And that happens. Sometimes fear causes us to overreact. And it can be an unhealthy fear when that is the case. But fear can also be a helpful fear. It can be a healthy fear. Amen. Helpful and healthy when fear causes us to be careful. When it causes us to be conscientious. Amen. When it causes us to be considerate. When it causes us to be cautious. Fear can be a healthy and a helpful thing. Likewise, confidence can be healthy. Amen. There's a time for when confidence is based on knowledge, on understanding, on trust. That's a good confidence. But trust can be unhealthy when it's a careless, baseless, reckless confidence in things that are not good. Amen. And we could use all kinds of, talk about all kinds of things about that could be done. All right. I'll give you an illustration. A young man that I went to school with, grew up with. I don't remember. I know that he had been in drywall, had been finishing drywall at one time. I'm not sure what his job was at this present time, but he's on a house, on a job on a Saturday, and a man putting a metal roof on. They'd put the roof on, and by the way, it was a big two-story house with a full basement underneath, and so the back end of the house was three stories above ground. And they lacked one piece of metal up around the chimney that they needed to put on. And this fella asked my friend I knew if he'd help him put that metal on. And he said, you know, it would just be real quick. We don't have to tie off. We don't have to take no extra precautions. We just put this one down and it'd be over. And he got up to the top, picked the metal up, and as soon as he did, a gust of wind hit the metal. You know what it did? It took him to the ground. And it broke his neck. And he's paraplegic from the neck down. Paralyzed. You know why? Because of a foolish decision. Amen. You say, well, by the way, I know what people, sometimes people say, oh, look at him. He's scared to death. He's going to tie off for one piece of metal. Yeah. But in some cases, it's cautiousness is actually being pretty smart. Amen. And being healthy. Amen. Uncautious, uncareful, or we'll say careless. Amen. Reckless, it can be unhealthy, whether it's reckless fear or reckless confidence. So there's an underlying principle in the New Testament that deals with this fact in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 12, the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The principle there is sometimes a good, healthy fear is a good thing for you. Sometimes an overly confidence can be a bad thing for you. Amen. Now, I feel like I probably ought to clarify this because I think sometimes people carry it to the extreme in this matter. When we use that verse, and it's used a lot, but when we use that verse, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, that does not mean that everybody has to fall. I know people that when they hear somebody getting a divorce, they think everybody's got to get a divorce. No, you don't. No. People that when they hear some young person lost their purity, they think every young person has to lose their purity. No, you don't. When people fall, when some people hear about a preacher falling into sin, they think then every preacher is going to fall into sin. No, they've not. Thank God. Amen. Amen. But some people get the misunderstanding that that verse is saying everybody has to fall. And that's certainly not what we're preaching. Amen. There's a verse we use a lot of times, 1 John. And when we preach through 1 John, I went over this and talked a little bit about it. But in 1 John, it talks about, my little children, these things, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. He said, what I'm writing to you, I don't want you to sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Are you following me? He said, but if any man sin, he didn't say when any man sin. He wasn't taking it for granted that everybody is going to absolutely wipe out. Now you say, preacher, are you saying we don't? That we're going to live without sin? No, but I am saying that it's not because that it's just something that has to happen. It happens because we're frail. It happens because we're weak. And when we do, thank God we have an advocate. If we fall, we have an advocate. Amen. But don't just go saying, well, it don't matter if I fall because I've got an advocate. It does matter when we fall. Amen. 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 And you could give a lot of arguments. And I know what they say, well, you're giving people a license to sin. Absolutely not. When, I'll ask you a question. Brother Philip, when you and Miss Evelyn got married back so many, all the months ago, I don't know why you don't have children yet. But anyway, I'm just kidding. We all got married, and she told me to say that, by the way. Anyway, but anyway, when y'all got married and she said that she's going to be faithful to you in good or bad, whatever happens, did that give you a license to make it all bad? No. She just made a promise. She's going to be with you even if it does turn out bad, right? In all of our cases, that's what marriage vows do. Well, that doesn't give you the license. Here's what God said. You've got an advocate. Now, he's not saying that means you ought to go and just do whatever you want to do. No, he said if you mess up, if you make a mistake, thank God we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Don't be overconfident thinking, I can't fall. You can fall. And at the same time, don't be overly fearful thinking, I must fall, because you don't have to fall. What that verse is saying there is not that everybody has to fall, but it says that anybody can fall. That's what he's talking about. Amen. I'll say it again because it needs to be said. Anybody can fall. No matter how long you've stood. Well, preacher, I've stood right here all this time. I ain't falling. You better watch out. You better watch out. Be careful lest you fall. If you think you're standing, and sometimes, by the way, the Bible's right the way it says, if you think you're standing. Because sometimes people think they're standing when they're not. I'm amazed that people think they're stronger than they are. Amen. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I don't keep up with my tithe, but I'm sure I probably give more than tithe. And then they figure it up and they don't even give close to a tenth. But they thought they did. Amen. That's right. Anybody can fall. We're not infallible. And this is right what's it. We're not unfallible. Amen. But I'm afraid that many Christians today walk around with an unhealthy fear of evil. I think a lot of Christians walk around fearful that the devil's going to get the upper hand over them. That God's going to pass away or something. Or that some evil-spirited person is going to get the betterment of them. That God's not protecting them like they ought to be protected. Listen, you don't have to live in that kind of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? Amen. Well, preacher, what about COVID? God can help us with COVID. God can help us with anything. Amen. Amen. It's amazing. Some people, they wouldn't trust God, but they'd trust Fauci. Oh, my goodness. I don't have time to go chase that rabbit. Lord, help us. Amen. I'd rather trust God. Amen. And I'm not talking about being foolish. Please don't take that to mean that I'm talking about being foolish. Amen. Because somebody said, they don't mean go licking doorknobs. Amen. Don't spit in your hand before you shake my hand. Amen. Amen. Well, but I am convinced that a lot of Christians live with an unhealthy fear. It's almost as if some great catastrophe is going to fall over them at some time. You remember the little thing about Chicken Little? The sky's falling. The sky's falling. Amen. 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 Now, I do know, and I am aware, that troubles do come to God's children. We trust God, but troubles still come our way. But even when troubles come, we can trust God. That's the point I'm making. We can trust God. Amen. Here's what the Bible said, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I read you verse 12, talking about take heed lest you fall. In verse 13 he says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. Trouble might come our way, temptation might, and it does. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. So I've laid the introduction. The premise is sometimes it's good to have a healthy fear, but not an unhealthy fear. Be careful not to have an unhealthy confidence, but have a healthy confidence. So having said all that, I'm going to move on to my points. I've got 4 points and they deal with that. I'm going to talk about a paralyzing fear, number one. A paralyzing fear. You've heard about it and you may have seen, I remember when I was a boy, we'd watch those safari programs at night. And you see the antelope or the gazelle out there in the, what is they call that? Not tundra, tundras in Alaska, the out in the grass and all that, the jungle, you know, but it's the field part. What? In the plains. What'd you say? Veldt. That's the word I'm looking for. They're out there in the veldt. Amen. And they're out there in their place, you know, grass is high and they're chewing down on it. They're having a good time, but there's a lion lurking in the grass. Snake in the grass, lion in the grass. And the lions come up. You know that gazelle can far outrun a lion, especially in takeoff. When they got it down pat. Those antelopes can outrun a lion, except for what happens before that lion pounces, he roars. He roars and it confuses that crowd. Because the way it reverberates around from the rocks and maybe if there's hills or trees or whatever, and maybe there's more than one lion because they hunt in prides a lot of times in their groups.
And when that lion roars, it confuses the herd and they freeze in fear. How many people in here ever been rabbit hunting? Raise your hand. I'm not talking about Easter bunny hunting. I'm talking about rabbit hunting. All right, a lot of us. You've seen that when that rabbit will freeze. I mean, literally just freeze in fear. You shoot it and he's freeze dried. I mean, just like that. freeze dyed, whatever it is. but seriously, they have that they just, and it's almost like there's a sense they think you can't see them if they don't move. And you can see them plain as day. And listen, that is a tactic of the devil. He is a roaring lion, is what 1 Peter chapter 5 said. Not just a sneaking lion, not just a prowling lion. He's a roaring lion because he tries to make us fear. He wants to fill us with fear. Amen. He wants to confuse us. He's roaring against us. Listen, I'm convinced, and Brother Steve said it the other day, just me, him and I talking. We've talked about it more than one time, but just the other day. Things going with the radio, and we're looking at open doors, and we're looking at going forward, and all those things. I don't want to say too much about it, but as in those things we're looking at, the way God's opening doors, the way the church seems to be in agreement, we better watch out. The devil's going to roar. And he does. He roars in your family. He roars in your mind. Amen. He roars in the service sometimes. Amen. You know why he does that? To make us stop. Freeze. Rather than going forward for the glory of God. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 2. The first verse we looked at there. He talks about a man that's on the move. An upright man that is on the move. You see that verse number 2? He that walketh. He's not standing still. He's not sitting. He's on the move. Here's a man that walketh in his uprightness. He's walking right. He's walking with integrity. He's walking with confidence in God. He's walking, he talks about in the fear of the Lord. That it really does deal with the confidence of God. He's on the move. He's walking in the uprightness, in his uprightness. He feareth the Lord. Amen. This man is not frozen in fear. This man is continuing to walk in his uprightness. Can I say this to you and I? The devil may roar against us, but we don't have to fear him when we properly fear God. Amen. We don't have to properly fear the devil when we properly fear God. We can keep on walking in our uprightness. Amen. Not only the devil may try to make us fear, our flesh may try to make us fear. But we don't have to live in fear of the flesh if we'll properly fear God. We can keep on walking in our fear of the Lord. Amen. The world may try to make us. You talk about those three things that come against the Christian. The flesh, the devil, and the world. All those things may roar against us. But we don't have to stop. If we're properly fearing God, we can walk on, keep on moving. Amen. So what happens if God opens the door? And we decide to go through it and we commit to spending a large amount of money and the stock market falls. What happens? Well, here's what happens. Is our trust in the stock market or is our trust in God? Really? And I'm not talking about being foolish. I hope you understand that. I think you know me by now. I'm not talking about living foolish, but I am talking about we don't have to fear when the devil roars. Amen. I remember at Vision years ago, we had a family that got upset with me. They got cross, but really bad cross. And they left. They left the church. And that man was given over half of our missions support that was going out. He was giving it like crazy. He just got a big raise. He was talking about all these other things he was going to do. And I ain't got time to go into all that. But anyway, he got sidetracked and I had to deal with him. And when I dealt with him, he just left. And a man came to me, the treasurer came to me, and he said, Brother Shepherd, we're not going to be able to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to have to cut back. I said, wait just a minute. I said, we wasn't trusting in that man. I called his name. We wasn't trusting in him to supply our needs. We was trusting God. Amen. And I said, don't hold the checks. I said, just hang on and go ahead and write the checks and we'll pray and ask God and watch God send in the money. And God did, by the way. Amen. And I've seen it happen more than one time. Most of the time, rather than funds going down, funds go up because God blesses His people. Amen. God blesses faithfulness, by the way. The devil can roar, but you don't have to stop. You don't have to paralyze in fear. Amen. So number two, there's a prudent fear. There's a paralyzing fear, and then there's a prudent fear. Look at verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. This fear is also the fear of the Lord, I believe. Still talking about the fear of God. I believe that. Just like verse number two. Still talking about the fear of the Lord. In this case, the wise man is fearful not to offend God. He doesn't want to sin and displease his father. Amen. He doesn't want to do disservice to his master. And so he's afraid of offending God. Therefore, he departs from evil. Amen. What's that mean, departs from evil? He puts distance between him and evil. Amen. He's not buddy-buddy with evil. He's not that kind of confident. He's not rubbing elbows with evil. He's not that, that's overconfidence. This man has a prudent fear that causes him to put distance between him and evil. Amen. Let me just give a plug here real quick. Young men sometimes get in with other young men and they may stop at a place that you know you don't need to be going in. I tell you what, do. Don't say, well, I'll just go in and sit with them and they can drink. I don't have to drink. They can, you know, do whatever. I don't have to participate. No, the best thing you do is put distance between you and that place. Amen. Put distance between you and that place. Stay away from such a place. Amen. I know a young man. I knew him. He's passed away now. But he was a young man when this happened. He was an older man when I knew him. And he's passed away now. But he says that he got in a vehicle with some, four boys came by, and it's on a Sunday, I believe it was. These boys came by and is in a pretty large town, and they asked him if he'd like to ride with them. He's going to go out and have some fun. So he jumped in the car, goes with them. They go out to have their fun. They stop at a little country store. This young man says that he stayed in the car. These four men went into the store. They tried to buy alcohol, and he's too young to buy alcohol. When the man refused to sell it to him, they got in an argument. He pulled a gun and they killed him. They took the gun away from him and killed the man. And he run back to the car and take off. And that young man in the car, said he was in the car the whole time, went to prison. Yep. Went to prison because those four fellas said he was in with them and that he, it was his idea. You know, and all that stuff that goes along. Well, how did he get in that trouble? He didn't put distance. You say, well, it's ignorance. Maybe it was ignorance, but I'm telling you, when you see people doing things that you know are wrong, put distance between you and them. That's wisdom. Amen. Don't hang around with them. Don't go with them into the right, and don't run with them into the evil. Amen. Amen. So there's a prudent fear. Well, you say, they may call me chicken. Let them call you chicken. I'd rather be a chicken free to go home than a chicken in the coop for the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. That's right. Chicken running free is better than a chicken in the pot. Unless you're the one fixed to eat the chicken in the pot. Amen. All right. Well, he puts distance between himself and temptation. But notice, I'm still in verse 16. The wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and, let me find it, fool rageth and is confident. The fool is overly confident. He doesn't fear God nor man. And therefore, he sins against both. He rails against both. He boasts against both. Well, I don't care. God can do what he wants to do. People can do what they want. I ain't afraid of nobody. He says that to his own destruction. Amen. I'll say more about that in a minute. But consider this prudent man, verse number 16. He's a wise man, it says right off of verse 16. He's a wise man. And he is considering the fact that what's going on might damage his testimony. Might damage his witness. might damage his service unto the Lord. So he departs from evil. Amen. Amen. A wise man will foresee apparent problems or probable problems that are coming up. Amen. Sometimes a wise man, he talks about the wise man fears. Sometimes a wise man can see, this just don't look right. Something about this just don't seem to be measuring up. And a wise man may have some of that fear that is a prudent fear, foreseeing the probable dangers. And because of that, he'll guard against those things. Amen. Can I say that fear, that prudent fear that I'm talking about here, is a necessary caution that causes a person to be careful, that causes a person to be observant. Amen. Looking around because they are aware that they are in danger. Amen. Now, you say, preacher, that you're talking about fear being a good thing here. Yeah, prudent fear is. I guess we'd all agree that Noah was a wise man to build the ark, right? Foolish people stayed outside the ark, but the wise man built an ark. Why did he do that? He was moved with fear. That's what Hebrews 11 said. Amen. Hebrews 11 said he heard the warning of God. He heard the word of God, and it moved him. Amen. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Amen. So that was wise to him to be moved with that fear. He was not paralyzed with fear, but it was a prudent fear that caused him to move. Amen. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul, I believe, lived with that kind of fear. He talks about 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 27. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself could be a castaway. Amen. Paul, the greatest of all the apostles, has to be careful lest, having preached to others, he could himself be a castaway. That's right. Amen. I don't care how long you've been married, it's not wise to be talking to members of the opposite sex. Amen. Got to be careful. And I'm not saying be afraid of, but I am saying have some prudent fear there. Amen. Be careful of yourself, man or woman. Amen. Have some prudence involved there. I'm not talking about being overly anxious. I don't think Paul was overly anxious, thinking he's going to fall every minute. But he knew anybody can fall, even the great apostle Paul. And so he said, I keep under my body. I try to be careful bringing it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. So it's not an overly anxious fear, but it's a fear that does tremble at the word of God. We take the warnings of Scripture serious. Amen. And it causes us to depart from evil. If you're in Proverbs 14, turn over probably a page, chapter 16 and verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Here's the phrase I want you to see. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Amen. That's a prudent fear that causes us to withdraw our foot. That causes us not to go that way. That causes us not to throw in our lot with them. Amen. That causes us to be careful where we go, what we do. So there's a paralyzing fear, but there's also a prudent fear. Number three, there's a prideful confidence. You see that in verse number 9. A prideful confidence. Read verse 9 with me. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Now jump down to verse 18, that last phrase that I read already. But the fool rageth and is confident. You see those together? Both these two verses together appears to me saying that the fool has a loud mouth. He's mocking at sin and he's raging, boasting about what he's confident that he can do. He's got a loud mouth. One that rageth and one that mocks at sin. It seems to me that this man has foolishly mistaken boasting for bravery. I've met men that their words were a lot braver than they were. Amen. We all have. 9 times out of 10, the men that use those brave words don't necessarily have a brave heart. Amen. They're masking that and putting that out front. That's their shield to try to scare you off. Amen. But I say this, this man foolishly mistakes boasting for bravery. He thinks that a big mouth makes a big man. He's talking about this man mocking at sin. He's railing, he's raging, he said in verse number 16. The fool rageth, he rages. Here's the idea, I wrote this down about how that this fool, rather than repenting in remorse for his sin, he mocks at it. They revel in it, enjoying their sin. Well, y'all can quit drinking if you want to, I can handle my liquor. Yeah, watch and see how you do that, how that works out for you. Amen. Well, they throw out all that. Well, I'll tell you, I can handle that. I can put up with it. It ain't going to get me. Yep. Famous last words. Amen. Mocking at sin. They rail and they rage. They laugh at their sin rather than leaving their sin. They laugh at sin rather than loathing sin. Amen. They say things like this. Rules are for weak people. You've ever heard that? You probably have heard it. Rules are for sheep, they say. Rules are for sheep. People that'll just follow rules. That's what rules are for. Okay, break all the rules. Drive on the wrong side of the road. Run all the red lights. See how long that lasts. Don't look both ways when you cross the street. Just run out there. And I was describing how somebody drive, wasn't I? I was describing. But the truth is, listen, if you just say, I'm not going to listen to any rules, I'm going to break the rules, and rules are not for me, rules are for weak people, rules are for other people, you're just showing how foolish you are. Amen. Raging. And they say, well, I won't get hurt. It may hurt somebody else, but it ain't going to hurt me. Oh, yeah. Sure enough, down the road, you'll find out how foolish you are. Amen. A man is a fool if he thinks he can trust the devil. And a man is a fool if he thinks he can trust his flesh. And a man is a fool if he thinks he can trust this world. That's what he's calling. He's a fool. He's confident. He's overconfident is the idea here. Amen. Overconfident. And so there's the danger here of this prideful confidence. He's wrong, but he don't even know that he's wrong. He laughs at preaching. He scoffs at those that try to warn him to turn from his ways. Amen. He persists in going the way of the flesh, the devil, and the world. He says, I'm going to be all right going his way. And he rages against God. I'm telling you, that's not going to turn out good. The Bible said it's a fool that does those things. Amen. Amen. Let him rage against God. What good is that going to do him? Amen. Here's what the Bible says. Let the heathen rage. Just let them. You know what God's going to do while they're raging? He's going to laugh. He's going to laugh. Amen. This man's mouth and his confidence reveals him to be a fool. This man I'm preaching about here in the text. He's got a prideful confidence. And then there's the last one. This is the helpful one, is the providential confidence. Not confident in ourselves, confident in our God. Amen. Look at verse number 26 and 27. I read those to you in the beginning. Verse 26 and 27. And by the way, we dealt with 26 last week, but I want to use it again in this. He says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Amen. So the man that fears God trusts God. That's really what that deals with. He trusts God. Not only he trusts God that God's going to judge when he said he is, but he trusts God that God will protect him like he says he will. He believes what God said. He believes God's word. So he has confidence in the word of God. And I'll say this, he has confidence in the love of God. Amen. He has confidence in the mercy and grace of God. This man that believes God this way can walk in light in the midst of a dark world. Amen. He can walk in love in the midst of a world at war with God. He can walk in peace in the midst of a world that's at war with God. You know why? Because he does not trust himself. He's trusting his Lord. His refuge is in God. That's what he's talking about here. His children shall find God as their refuge. They shall have a place of refuge. He knows where his strength lies. Amen. Amen. Here's what people say. Well, you think that God's going to bless you because you go to that particular church. No, it's not because we go to this particular church. It's because we trust God. We believe God. We take God at his word. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 10. There's a verse that says a good thing here. The same giving us this idea of a refuge for the righteous. Proverbs 18 verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Amen. Last year in September, I heard Brother James Jones preach from that text at Vision Baptist Church, Brother Gray's camp meeting, and he preached on the strong tower for the righteous. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Why does the righteous run in there? Two reasons. He fears God and he trusts God. He has confidence in God. Amen. Now notice in verse number 26 of chapter number 14 where we're at. That's the verse I'm dealing with. Verse number 26. Let me get back there myself. He says, Proverbs 14. Let me find it. All right, verse 16 or 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. This is what I said last week. Use the word fear and the word confidence. Don't go together in the same sentence. But it does here. Because what he's talking about, when you fear God, it means you trust God. They go together. You believe God, you trust God. Amen. They go together. Same thing happens in a family. Amen. When, I'm going to use Dad for an example. Dad has a voice of power, a voice of authority. And he can say no to that child. And he can say it in a way that they know he means it. I saw Brother Jacob do that a few weeks ago. I told him, we was down here talking, one of his youngins, I don't remember now which one, they're all so mean, can't tell which one, I'm kidding. One of them was getting ready to get up here, and he just, loudly said, no! And they knew, buddy, they stopped right there. I told him, I said, that put fear in them. I said, matter of fact, it put fear in me, I'm ready to go to the house. But he had that confidence. Now here's what I was going to say, but that same fear, that same voice of authority that has fear is the same authority figure that they'll run to when they're in trouble. Because they know they can trust Dad to protect them. Dad didn't tell them no because he didn't want them to have fun. Dad told them no because he wanted to protect them. Amen. Now, the world's got it all out of whack. Well, hey, these rules are to stop us from having fun. No, these rules are to protect you from being a fool and killing yourself or somebody else. Amen. So this providential confidence, our God, the same God that says, thou shalt not, we can fear and run in him. Why? Because we know we can have confidence in him that he's going to protect us from the danger of this world. Amen. So a wise man's prudent fear, that's what I'm talking about, causes him to have providential courage. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. He knows that he can run to God for safety. Amen. He knows that he can run to God for safety. Wise people know that they can trust God with a providential confidence. Amen. Let me read you three verses and I'm gonna conclude with my final verse. Psalms 56 verse 4. You don't have to turn to these. Psalm 56 4 says, In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Amen. I'm going to read again. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He's not talking about his own flesh. He's talking about man. I'm not afraid of man when I fear God. Amen. Psalm 118 verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man Or what can man do unto me? Amen. The Lord is on my side, he said. And then in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. We can have a providential confidence in our Lord. We can trust him if we'll run to him in our time of fear. Amen. Now, in conclusion, I want to deal with the one verse I didn't deal with in our text that I read. Verse number 11, chapter 14, verse number 11. I read this in the beginning. I read verse 2, verse 9, verse 11, verse 16, verse 26 and 27. So I've dealt with those others, 2, 9, 16, 26, 27. Look at verse 11, right in the middle of those. He says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. He deals with both sides of this now. He deals here with the foolish courage of the wicked and the wise fear of the righteous. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Notice that this text talks about the wicked seeming to have a house, while the upright only has a tabernacle. Usually a house is more permanent. A house is more solid. A house is more substantial than a tabernacle. The idea of the tabernacle is like a tent. That's the idea that he's dealing with. It's like a tent. And you remember the tabernacle? Before, when Solomon wanted to build a house for God, David wanted to build a house for God because he dwelt in these tents, he said. That's a tabernacle that they're talking about in the scripture. So a house is more permanent, while a tabernacle is only temporary. But in this case, the solid house, confidence of the wicked man, is going to be overthrown. You see that? The solid house of the wicked shall be overthrown, while the tabernacle, verse 11 again, the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Amen. You mark her down, that wicked man may seem real confident. He may seem like he stands real strong. He's got a house. It's a house of cards. It's a house of sand. It's going to fall. The wise man may look like he's just, you know, he doesn't fit in this world. He doesn't belong in this world. Thank God, by the way, we don't. Amen. But that wise man is going to flourish by the good grace of God. Something else I see here. It looks like somebody dwelling in a tent with uprightness is happier than somebody dwelling in a house with wickedness. We heard this morning, and like I said, God gave me this message early in the week. This morning we heard two different testimonies of people that lived in a trailer, and God blessed them, and they upgraded into a house. Or I know they got a double wide, and really that's two trailers put together, but we understand, right? It's an upgrade. Two's better than one, amen. It's on their own property, and all that, amen. I'm not saying that facetiously, but when I worked in those double wide, they didn't like you calling them a trailer. They're a modular home. It's on wheels. They pull it down the road. Amen. Anyway, I ain't got time. And that's not derogatory at all. But here's my point. Those things, though, they upgraded. Can I tell you, thank God, God allows fools to upgrade if they'll only fear the Lord. If they only recognize, get rid of that overconfidence. Amen. Get rid of that overconfidence that I don't have to fear nobody. I don't have to repent. I don't have to bow. I don't have to deal with sin. Listen, that overconfidence is going to wreck you down the road. Your house is going to perish. But God allows fools to make a turn. God allows fools to upgrade from a strong house to a tabernacle. Weak, frail, but protected by the hand of God. Amen and amen. Amen. Look at Proverbs 7, number 15, and verse number 25. Proverbs 15, 25. I'm telling you that the wise man runs to God with fear in his soul. Amen. It's a foolish man that confidently boasts of no fear while living his life of sin. Proverbs 15, 25. Here's what the Bible says. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Amen. God is going to tear down that house that pride built. Amen. He will. That's what he said. But he's going to protect that widow, that little weak widow, that little dependent widow. Amen. Amen. By the way, you know what a widow is? I just thought about this. I'll just plug it here. It fits the symbolism of the scripture. A widow is a woman that's married to a man that has died. Listen, we're the bride of Christ. Our husband, if you want to say it that way, has died. But God has built us a house that's permanent. Amen. God, by the death of Christ, amen, by the death of Christ, God has built us a house that we can run into and find comfort and protection. Amen. God's going to destroy the house of the wicked. Let me find, there's a verse in chapter number 3, Proverbs chapter number 3. If you want to go back there, I'm looking for it. I didn't mark it. I meant to have. I remembered it this evening, and I was going to mark it, but I forgot it. Let's see if I can find that. Proverbs chapter number 3. I know it's in chapter 3. He's talking about a house. And it's there, I think, towards the end. Okay. Hang on, I'm getting there. All right, there it is. Verse number 33 of chapter 3. Look at what he said about the house of the wicked. Earlier he said God's going to destroy it. Here he said the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. I'd rather live in a tent with the blessings of God than to dwell in a house, what I'll say, a strong built house that has the curse of the Lord upon it. The curse of God. Amen. I'm glad God allows people to upgrade from that house they think so strong, but is doomed to destruction. God allows you to upgrade if you'll fear the Lord. Amen. If you'll chuck that overconfident, prideful confidence, that foolish boasting, if you'll junk that, God will give you opportunity. And I don't know a better way to say it, God will give you a space of repentance. Amen. That's the best way I know to say it. God will let you upgrade if you'll come to him. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. It's wisdom that causes somebody to fear the wrath of God. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Amen. It is wisdom that causes a person to fear the wrath of God. It is wisdom that causes a person to turn to God in their fear, and to call on God and to trust in God for safety and for salvation. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again for the privilege that is ours to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God as we've studied in the book of Proverbs. Again, chapter 14, showing us the difference, the contrast. And that's what these verses are, a lot of contrasts. But the contrast between foolish wisdom or foolish pride and overconfidence, but wise fear. Help us, dear God, to run to Jesus for our help. Put no confidence in the flesh, but put confidence in our Lord. Father, I pray you deal with folks even tonight, invitation time. If somebody needs to get saved tonight, Lord, I pray you'd draw them. I pray, dear God, you'd woo them and you'd win them over tonight by the mercy of God, by the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray you'd win them over. Father, I pray you'd help the saint to trust you. Recognize that we're not given the spirit of fear, yet we have a fear of God that is not a paralyzing fear, but it's a fear that causes us to walk with God and to be careful and cautious. Trust in our God. Have your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, would you come and obey the Lord?